Good morning. I'm Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, we're so happy to have one of our Nordic friends who has a great book, Miss Wendy Kuhn. She's author of the book Strategy to Reality, Making the Impossible Possible. Wendy, welcome to the program, and thank you for doing this interview, which is late night your time there in the Nordic country, but to talk about your book, Strategy to Reality, Making the Impossible Possible. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It is really a pleasure and honor to be here. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, before we jump into your book, if you could share with our audience information about your background, your education, et cetera, and what led you up to this point of writing this book?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I am a long time, won't say how long time, but a long time business architecture practitioner, thought leader, pioneer, educator. So I really fall in love with this discipline as a way to help organizations translate big ideas into action and do business transformation, including digital transformation. So I've been lucky enough to work with organizations of all types and sizes around the world. And what led me to writing the book was really culminating and celebrating these experiences over a period of years and really wanting to get that written down in a form that other people could use. And what preceded that was actually 4 years of a blog where I broke down business architecture and its practical usage bit by bit for 4 years, like I said.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful. And I've alluded to the Nordic state, but you're in, is it Norway? Is that correct?
I'm in Norway, indeed.
There's an interesting story as to how you made your way from the US over to Norway.
Yes, it's a very easy story, but I ran away with a Norwegian is what I like to say. I met my husband in New York and he was looking to get back to his European roots. So what a great adventure. I'm loving every minute of it.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And so I'm curious as to your experience in the US and your experience in Norway. I find the folks in the Nordic states to be very, very precise. Is that what you have learned as well?
I do think there's a precision. I think there's an operational focus. And, you know, for me, it's, you know, you really don't learn the nuances until you actually live in a place. And I feel like that has become very true for me, right? But I also appreciate the values of Norwegians. That's a little bit different to this value of sort of really taking care of each other, closeness to nature. So that for me, you know, honestly, Darrell, I kind of feel like I'm a student every day, learning new things in a new society.
Yes, yes. So let's talk about strategy to reality, making the impossible possible. You've explained what your book is about and that you've written it over a blog over a number of years. And what prompted you to say, you know what, I'm going to do this blog and then now I'm going to compile it into this book. And who is this book for?
Great questions. So, you know, honestly, from the very beginning of my career, I've been pioneering, doing, practicing, codifying, teaching. And I've repeated and repeated that to this pretty large body of knowledge. So honestly, it was an epiphany moment for me. So I was writing this blog. It was called Business Architecture Straight Talk. And it was just, it was one day in fall 2020 that I just said, you know what, I'm going to wrap this blog up at issue number 100, which would be May, the following May. And so I just had this inspiration that was the right time to stop, because when I started the journey of the blog, I didn't know when it was going to end. So that felt really right to me to do that. And, you know, just to put the legacy out there and put the ideas out there. So this book is for most certainly business architecture practitioners, leaders, and their executives. Mm-hmm. But it is also for a much wider circle of people. And I have to say, I've been delighted to see how more and more people are resonating with these ideas. For example, strategy execution leaders, transformation leaders, strategists, technology executives, CTIOs, CIOs, as well as other roles that work tangentially to business architecture, business analysis, enterprise architecture, and even entrepreneurs has been another wonderful surprise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what are the key principles of strategy to reality? Of course, last week or two, I was listening to a gentleman by the name of David S. Rose. He is well known in the VC circles in the United States, as well as Silicon Alley. He's written a couple of books. And one of the key things that he stressed to the entrepreneurs that were on this live podcast was execution.
Awesome. So some principles. I would say there's one really big overarching one, and that is end-to-end cohesiveness. Okay. There are amazing bodies of work and histories that we point back to around strategy management or, you know, how to do projects. I mean, I could go on and on, you know, giving homage to all sorts of disciplines and techniques. So really the overarching principle here is how do we do strategy to execution from end to end? Strategy, architecture and design, planning, execution, measuring success to make sure that we delivered what we said we were going to do in the first place. And I'm not trying to imply waterfall, but it's really making sure that the teams can work hand in hand to get idea to action, that there is accountability from end to end from a business perspective, that and also that strategy execution is underpinned by business architecture, which is like a blueprint for an organization. So that's really the scaffolding, or I like to call it the golden thread that ties together the strategy, the architecture, the initiatives, and all the other pieces, the customer journeys. So those are, that's the overarching one anyway.
Okay. Are there particular tools that you recommend that people use for this blueprint, for this architecture? I mean, immediately I think of a Gantt chart, which details, you know, all the steps and who's doing what and timeframes. Is there a particular tool that you recommend in your book?
Absolutely. So I base the book on the Business Architecture Guild. That's a global organization of which I'm a co-founder. On the Business Architecture Guild's BizBoc Guide, which is the global business architecture body of knowledge. And so that body of knowledge gives us, it says what's in that business blueprint. There are 10 domains. It says how it connects to other things. Right. It says how we can use it. So that's really the foundation. And then the book is all of the practicalities and all the depth around it. Indeed. But that's the starting point.
And when you're working with your clients, as they say, culture is very, very important. And as they say, culture eats strategy for breakfast every morning. When you're working with a client and you see that maybe the culture isn't quite there, how do you work that to get the executives to say, well, let's take a step back and let's think about how we're going to do this versus jumping in and then people within the system fighting the system?
I can't tell you how much I love that question because this is my life every day. First of all, it's good to know that I'm a journey person. I love doing really big things. I love running ultra marathons, climbing mountains. So I have the patience. I have a lot of patience to go step by step by step to a vision. So that's the first most important thing to say, because change takes time. I also say there's a secret of business architecture. It's not about the business architecture. It's about the culture, as you're saying. It's about the mindset shift to think about what's best for the enterprise or what's best for the customer, or how do we think business first and not put the solutions first, right? So there's a whole lot of mindset shifts there. So in order to start facilitating those mindset shifts, I will start with the executives, start to do some, mm-hmm. some trainings, some, you know, kind of coming together of ideas, some leadership, but that is not always the case. And let me tell you, I work with a lot of practitioners, who have a vision, they believe in this, and they will demonstrate the idea. They'll get wins, they'll build advocates, and they'll do it again and again and again until it gains traction. And then we can come and bring the leadership buy in behind it. But it's a lot of vision and being very deliberate about how to get that vision, but really step by step, win by win, person by person, every single day.
How long for your program from start to finish? Are you on site 3 to 6 months, 6 months to a year?
Yeah, great question. You know, I'm honored to say that I live this strategy to reality and business architecture journey with organizations sometimes for a very long time. Yeah. So I get to see some pretty powerful results, like the one practitioner, and then the vision is like top to down, you know, top down, the organization is architecture driven. So honestly, I usually work with organizations from 1 to 3 years, even more, 5, even 10 sometimes. So we're actually talking about a pretty big mindset shift in the end. So it can vary, and it can be quite lengthy actually for a large organization.
Nothing like having clients to hang around for a particularly long period of time.
That's true.
So how do you measure success for your client? How do they measure success? What type of performance metrics do you say, okay, here's where we're starting from, and with my program, you're going to grow XYZ?
Absolutely. And I am relentlessly value driven, actually. So I don't ever start with the how. I don't ever start with the technique. We always start with why. And the way that clients define their success and their business outcomes is oftentimes a little bit different. Some might be really focused on business transformation or strategy execution. Some people might say, we want to use this framework because we need to fix some regulatory compliance, or we're in a period of doing a whole bunch of acquisitions. We need to be smart about how we evaluate them and how we integrate them back in. So it actually starts with their success measures. And so my success is their delivery on those value outcomes. And then behind that, there are just general success measures to actually measure the maturity of a practice. And there's even a maturity model that I use for business architecture as well.
And do you find that your clients, when you first engage with them, that they have satisfactory measurements, or this something that they need to first get the first base for first?
Always first base for, because oftentimes they're not thinking why, they're thinking what. They're thinking about the tools and what they can do instead of the ultimate outcomes that they're trying to achieve. So that's always where we have to start. Yep.
It's something that you said there, the why, I just want to underline that, put it in bold and italics. Can you explain to our audience the important reason of understanding your why?
Absolutely. Because it's how you're going to measure success. But when you're bringing a new idea to an organization, and there's a lot of status quo, and there's a lot of momentum, and there's a lot of inertia, you have to really be able to prove your value and how this idea is going to do something different than all the other techniques and things that the organization has going on. So it is a little bit back to change management, but that's the big reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And who do you think, who would you recommend outside, I mean, obviously the C-suite, but outside of the C-suite, who do you recommend this book for as well?
Absolutely. Strategy leaders, transformation leaders, strategic planners. Those are my top, hands down, if I had to pick the sets of leaders. Now, again, there's, you know, almost any leader can find value, whether they are the corporate sustainability, you know, leader or the finance, right? We can use this for costing or risk or compliance, but really the top, you know, this is about change and how to do change better from end to end. So that's why I say strategy, transformation, strategic planning, and portfolio management actually as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Ms. Wendy Kuhn, who's the author of the great book, Strategy to Reality, Making the Impossible Possible. Now, if I understand correct, Wendy, your book is already available in a digital form.
Exactly right.
And you're having a launch for the physical book coming up in New York soon, correct?
Coming up in New York City soon on Tuesday, 20 September. We'll have a book signing during the day from 12 to 3 and then a celebration at night.
That is great. That is awesome. And I have to apologize. I actually have to teach class that night and the teacher can't play hooky.
Yeah, that's true. That would be an interesting class. Oh, I'll certainly miss you.
And so let's talk about what the book. The book is how many chapters?
Seven chapters.
Mm-hmm. And is there a workbook with it or is that auxiliary materials, or that's something they got to call you about?
That's a fantastic question. There is, because I've been thinking about doing a workbook for this, but what there is there's an entire online program for 20 weeks to really live strategy to reality. So it's a one lesson per week. The book is the absolute, you know, support material. And it's actually learning by doing. I'm a real big fan of learning by doing and learning in community with other people and building these deliverables out for your business architecture team and your organization to actually put it into practice. So that's called building a strategic business architecture practice.
Wonderful, wonderful. And they can find that on your website.
They can find it out on my website. Exactly.
Absolutely. Which I'm going to show right now. So folks who... we'll have the video. Okay. And this is your website, Strategy to Reality.
That's it.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. Wonderful. And so is there a particular industry that you specialize in, or is this is agnostic and it applies to any industry?
It is agnostic. It's agnostic of organizational sector, industry, and size. And actually, that's what makes it so fun too, because we can start to break an organization down into its pieces and parts. And when we do that, we actually see the similarity across organizations as well.
And what are some of the key learnings that your clients come away with in the early part of your assignment with them?
Wow. I think there's ahas of things they just haven't quite thought about before. The idea of strategy to execution being a comprehensive process and like a muscle that organizations need to build, they don't usually think about it that way. They're so used to sort of these disconnected teams and functions that nobody thinks, oh, we should be putting this together. And if we do, that's competitive advantage to be able to get ideas into action. Another aha, sort of hiding in plain sight, is this idea of the business architecture or the business blueprint. If we think about a house, we wouldn't think about building our dream house and dropping off a bunch of contractors and like say, all right, here's my email, you know, just build my house. Right. But we a little bit do the same thing in organizations, right? So it's just the idea that, wow, if we want to make change, we should understand where we are, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. And I think another aha is just the macro view, the looking at the organization at a whole. Again, we're sort of used to seeing the organization in parts and functions and processes and the bits that we see it, right? But just to say, wow, zoom up, never thought about looking at a macro level. And when we look at that macro level, we see the interaction, we see the systems view, we see the connections, and we can ask new questions and make different decisions based on what's best for the enterprise.
Mm-hmm. And so you're talking about a process and a program where you're dealing with knowledge workers and an executive suite that has very high emotional intelligence scores to allow the knowledge workers to do what they do best and get out of their way. What are some of the challenges that you come across where maybe some of the executive team doesn't have that particular skill set or high emotional intelligence score?
Yeah. I think where the challenge manifests in this space is that I don't care what's best for the bigger picture. I'm doing what's good for my department. I want to make my own decisions. I have my own budget. I have my own stuff I'm very busy with. And so I don't really want to collaborate, fund, think, make decisions in a new way. That's how it usually manifests, is just that sort of siloed mentality.
Right, right. And how do you, as the consultant, overcome that?
A bigger why. A why that transcends different silos. There are some good ones. One really good one I've seen organizations do amazing things is when they rally around the customer. Mm-hmm. Because when you're going to deliver a cohesive and exceptional experience to customers, and when you're going to show up acting like one company, as we say, not a bunch of parts, you have to be cohesive internally, your people, your processes, your systems. And so this serving the customer and showing up as, you know, one company is a great impetus. Sometimes there can be other ones. I'll tell you, regulatory, that is a good impetus because we just, you just have to. Exactly. That has good teeth. And oftentimes, as long as the vision is clear enough, transformation, top, you know, a big, like a business model transformation can also be a good rally point, because again, it's going to be something big. It's going to cross all the silos. We've got to come together, and we're naturally going to work in different ways than we do today. So there's a little bit more openness for it, but you got to have a why that transcends.
Yes. You know, this kind of reminds me of Taguchi, who was a famous Japanese engineer who really created the total quality management process, and where everyone who would touch the product was part of the team in meetings, so that when someone was handing off whatever it was that they were receiving, I kind of liken it to watching a good musical. Right. Where people know, when do I come on just to do my two steps? When do I get off the stage? And getting folks to recognize that those hurdles, what hurdles do you see that companies have in early going, where they have the will, but they haven't developed the skill, or sometimes they have the skill, but they don't have the will?
Ooh, good question. There is definitely the scenario where they have the will, but they don't have the skill, and they're trying to learn like business architecture and strategy execution translation from end to end.
Yeah.
That's honestly a little bit easier when you have the will. It is the hardest when you have the skill, but not the will. And then it's a matter of you just keep stepping one foot after the other up this mountain. It's getting wins. It's building advocates. It's building partners. Really integrating into the fabric of the organization is a way to overcome that. But it is a patience and persistence and passion kind of a play in those examples. Yeah.
Now, looking forward, will there be a follow-up to strategy to reality, making the impossible possible?
Oh, I love that question. You know, I always say this was just my first book. It took me a long time to get here, but I love to write and I love to teach. In fact, this book, I say, was more of the strategy execution minor and business architecture major. The next one will be more of the strategy execution major, the business architecture minor. So I do have some plans in process, no dates, but I can't wait to write the next one.
Now, are you going to be, or have you already been lecturing at our universities and colleges?
I do some. Some in the US, Germany, Australia, but not as much as I should be. In fact, there actually is a university in Canada that is adopting the book as part of their of one of their courses. Mm-hmm. So, to be honest, getting these ideas into academics and into universities, I think, is important, is tremendously important. How we do strategy execution holistically and this blueprint to underpin it, I feel like it's important and it's missing, you know, especially as our organizations have grown larger and you know, change is the new normal. So I would love to do more. And that's one of my greatest passions, honestly.
Okay, and when you think about your client base, and you're working on the follow-up. Do you automatically take some of your clients to that next level, even though you haven't written the book? I know you have the knowledge, but have you said, okay, now we've done strategy to reality 101. Now we're going to do 201.
You know what? Actually, the progression is we get the basis of the foundation in place. So defining the outcomes, creating the baseline, just the base business architecture. Once we have that, now we can do anything. So what usually happens is kind of this cycle of deliver value, add to your knowledge base, and we go around. And over the years, I have watched clients do astounding things where they're literally driving transformation from the architectural perspective. Capabilities are owned by the C-suite. We've knit together all the teams from strategy to customer experience to planning to IT architecture process, like just the whole organizational change management and design. So it's just like a growing set of complex scenarios and connections we can make. That's really how we proceed through other steps.
And your book tour, will it just be in New York? Will you be going to other parts of the United States?
I will. For this juncture in September, I'll be in New York for the launch, and then I'll be in Wisconsin, which is where I'm from originally. Yeah. As well as Chicago. And then in Europe, Amsterdam, London, Stockholm, for sure. Oslo, Copenhagen, and I'll come back to the States, probably Minnesota later this year, and others TBD. So
wow. Yeah, you're going to come back to Minnesota when it's a little chilly.
I'm from Wisconsin. I'm used to it.
That's right. So what other words of wisdom would you like to leave with our listeners and viewers?
Wow. Just the power of what's possible. No mountain is climbed by running to the top. And if it, not running to the top, but like just kind of skipping steps and getting beamed to the top. And if it was, it wouldn't be satisfying. It wouldn't be worth the journey anyway. So just to have the passion, persistence, and patience to make change, anything and everything is possible. Have the vision, believe, keep on stepping. And one thing I'll say, not just from having worked with organizations on sort of massive journeys, but from even writing this book, dreams come true. Dreams come true. So just to always remember that every day.
Is there a favorite quote or book you like to share with our audience?
Yes. Well, it would be Nelson Mandela. It always seems impossible until it's done. Most definitely.
Very nice. Well, Wendy, I want to thank you for coming on our program, and we want to wish you all the best with your book launch and your travels.
Thank you so much. Really was an honor.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Ms. Wendy Kuhn. She's author of the book, Strategy to Reality, Making the Impossible Possible. Thanks again for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up this week on Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter on Seton Hall University's WSOU, 89.5 FM, and streaming on the net at wsou.net. Have a great weekend, but remember, leadership begins with you.